Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Well, if that music doesn't send excitement charging through your brains, you are not human. In the 32-year history of the Racing Post, this is one of our defining moments because this is our debut postcast on the Eurovision Song Contest. My name is Lee Mottershead. I've been chosen to host this because I'm part of a community well known for loving Eurovision. Yes, the people of Walton on Thames have always been big fans. Joined here by three other major fans of Eurovision in the studio here, Racing Post sport editor Phil Aegis, and on the line from Ireland, from our sponsors Paddy Power, Jamie Arnold, and a man who is the guru of betting on Eurovision, Stephen Cass. Stephen, before we go any further, just explain why Eurovision is such a good betting medium.
The beauty of Eurovision is you have a field of 43, but ostensibly, really, there's only 7 or 8 contenders that can win the contest. Now, it's narrowing it down, anti-post, and narrowing it down in the week after who those 7 and 8 are. But you get the glory, the big glory of it is you get a quarter of the odds normally for first four on the each-way betting. So with 10 runners or so, you wouldn't get that in a horse race, you wouldn't get that in golf, you wouldn't get it anywhere else. So it's really good from that perspective. It's a very strong exchange market, so the books can be led by that as well, I think. So you get really, really good liquidity and good margins on the books. You can also, I think you can know more than the bookmakers on it if you really do your homework. There's lots of YouTube videos, loads of stuff on Twitter and Facebook, and you can stay on top of it. So I think there's an edge there that you mightn't have with things like football and horse racing. Just a fantastic thing if you get your knowledge levels up to have a bet on that you can actually make a few quid, which is, you know, it's not to be all and end all with punting, but it's nice at the end of the day.
And without blowing your own trumpet too much, what have been some of your personal Eurovision victories?
What got me into betting on the Eurovision was 2011 Ukraine, where I backed them to finish in the top 4 at 10s or something. Probably the biggest victory though was last year was I had a good bet on Portugal and tipped them in the paper and stuff. I think in the paper I tipped them at 7s. I had a nice bet at about 12-1. It was one of my biggest wins I ever had. So yeah, probably Portugal last year was the best of them.
And a very beautiful song that Portuguese entry was as well. Jamie, before you give us the outright markets as we stand now, just explain how volatile this market has been and why has it been so volatile?
Yeah, it's just a really good market to be involved in from a bookmaker side, really. As you said before, the exchange line is just so volatile, and things, people seem to know inside information and seem to change. And as you said, it's, you know, social media is huge for these kind of markets. It's just a real buzz around the, you know, kind of the trading floor in markets like this. You know, it's just so open, and yeah, it's just really good to get involved in.
Okay, and give us the current Paddy Power prices.
Cool. So your current Paddy Power prices are, we are now best price 11-8 on Cyprus. We're 10-3 on Israel. We are third favourites at 9-1 on Ireland. France 12-1, Germany 16-1, and it's Sweden 16s and 22 the rest.
Okay, 22 the rest. Phil, give us your idea of the outright winner of Eurovision.
Well, I think I differ to what Stephen's going to go for on this one, because I'm quite a fan of Israel. I came into it fresh this week. I hadn't seen it before the first semi-final, and I hadn't even seen the prices. I just watched the first semi-final, and Israel came on, and I thought, this is either going to be 100-1 or this is going to be favourite. Saw the prices, and I wasn't surprised it was favourite, because it's going to catch the eye around Europe.
Well, before we say any more, in other fantastic news, which producer Jack has been speaking to the European Broadcasting Union, and we do have rights to play snippets of the Eurovision song. So if I say now, producer Jack, cue Israel. So, Phil, it's not Rodgers and Hammerstein.
It's a little bit of Chicken Song. It's derived from that Chicken Song. But the lady in question, Netta, she's kind of a cross between Bjork and Lisa Riley. I see it sort of pitched like that.
Yeah,
she's quirky. She's definitely a character, and she should get the crowd on her side.
OK. Stephen, Israel, discuss.
Yeah, Israel can definitely win. The problem with Israel is the vocals were fairly sketchy, I thought, on Tuesday night. And the other issue was I don't think the backing dancers work. So with Eurovision, like, you've two things. You've the vocals, the performance, and the, you know, that's one side. And the staging is the other side. And you can't have one without the other. You need both to win. I think the... But the thing with Israel is it is fixable. So Phil says I don't like it. I actually like the song. I love the studio version of it. They have two things to fix. If they reduce the element on the dancers, focus more on Netta, and if she tones down the kind of being silly and facial expressions thing, I think then it gets it a bit more credibility. Israel can win, but for a song that I thought performed so poorly in the semi-final, it's a bit of a stretch at 130. I wouldn't like to be backing them at that, but I can definitely see the case for it. And I can definitely see the case for... backing them each way at that, you know, with kind of a dirty each way angle.
This is analysis of the sort we've never seen in football or horse racing.
Well, so the part that you can equate to horse racing is the draw, which is really well drawn.
Yeah,
really well drawn. 22 out of 26. Traditionally, the late draw is everything in Eurovision because people remember what they saw just before they go to vote. Yeah. And so, yeah, if the last five or six have got a great record. It's changed slightly in the last three or four years since the jury's had more of an effect again. I think three of the last four winners have been 11, 11 and 10. Drawn 10, 11, 10. But late draw certainly doesn't do any harm. And three of the top five last year were in the last five in the order.
Generally, in this Rudy week, it's the opposite of Chester.
It's
a low
much,
draw is yes. a bad thing in Eurovision.
Yeah, I mean, if you're drawn in the first five or six, you'd be self-certificating and just not bothering to travel to Beverly.
Okay.
Can I jump in there?
You can indeed.
The way they work it is you get drawn top half or bottom half. So after each semi-final, say Israel on Tuesday night, they said, right, you've qualified, you're either drawn top half or bottom half. So top 13 or bottom 13. Israel got top half, which is Phil is right, it is a good thing. But like Phil says, three of the last five winners came from the bottom half. And you can actually see in the advantage of the bottom half is you'll very quickly see which songs the show producers want to win or think have a chance of winning, because they'll be placed between 9 and 13. France, for example, are in 13. They're one of the main contenders. Portugal won last year from 11. I think Ukraine won from 9 or 11 as well. So being drawn low, if you're in the 9 to 11 bracket, then you're still on the gravy train. So I wouldn't be worried at all if you're around that area of the draw.
Okay, and before we go on to your outright winner, Stephen, talk about Cyprus, who... again, highlight the volatility of this market, because what sort of price could you have got about Cyprus a few weeks ago?
On the books, you could have got 100s. I'll check up on Betfair. I'm sure Powers were 80s, I think, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Looking at the Betfair graph, they were matched up at around 400. They were 100 only 2 weeks ago. But what happened was Cyprus went in, and there's a lot of dress rehearsals and rehearsals, and once the act was starting to see on stage, the thing with Cyprus, it's an average up-tempo dance track. It's decent, but the staging they're putting on is incredible. The dancing's amazing, the mermaid catsuits are amazing, the backing dancers are phenomenal. It's just the whole thing. If it's possible to say this in an unchauvinistic way, it's sex on legs, without trying to be pervy about it, you know. But anyone that hears that phrase now will think, God, what a creep. But when you watch it, you'll know what I mean. It really is. It's steaming, and it has a brilliant draw. So that's why Cyprus are now trading it around, I think they're 11 to 8, did we say, with Power's top price? So they've gone from 100s to 11 to 8s, which suggests to me they won the semi-final on Tuesday night. But they were they were drawn last in the semi-final on Tuesday night. Kind of everything went in their favour, I think, having Ireland before them and then a banger of a show closer. So they could be a vulnerable favourite.
What sort of record does Steamy have at Eurovision?
Banging tunes, were winning there for a few years, kind of in the mid-2000s, but the last couple of years it's gone a bit more kind of sophisticated, with Portugal last year and with Ukraine the year before. But to be honest, anything can win. It's just, you just got to put on a show and produce it well with good song and good staging, and you've got a chance.
Okay, and your winner is...
My winner is France, who I think come here with the best song, which is a great starting point, but it's not everything. It's contemporary, it's kind of electro-pop, it's really cool looking. Jean-Paul Gaultier has designed the outfits, they look amazing. On Thursday night was the first time we saw the song performed in front of a live audience with the full staging, and I just loved it. I thought they've absolutely nailed the staging. It's a really cool song. It's called Merci, and Merci isn't the thank you as we know in French. It's relating to a little girl who was born on a migrant ship crossing the Mediterranean. and which sounds like it could be sort of cynical and, you know, trying to take advantage, but it's not at all. It really is. It's a beautiful message, a beautiful song, and it's really well executed. They do this thing at the end, you'll have to see it, but they do a kind of a hand gesture at the end where the crowd get really involved.
Yes, they sort of like that.
Yes, they call it the, what's they call it, the flashlight or something. But right. Anyway, it really gets the crowd involved, brings a brilliant crescendo to the song. So while we're at a disadvantage because France weren't in a semi-final, I think, and we didn't get any price crash as a result, I think we're getting a bigger price as a result. Now, we're sort of backing our judgment and saying it's the best song and the best staging, but I think 12-1 is a very, very fair price.
And I'll tell you what, is that a good point now for Jack to play a bit of France? I think, to be fair to France, Jack hasn't necessarily picked the best part of the song there.
Yeah, I was thinking. No one's going to back it on the back.
The chorus is sort of quite... Do you want to sing the chorus, Stephen?
I would class that. I'll sing the whole song when we start from the start. I'll do a fake French thing, if you like.
Well, we'll settle for the chorus.
I think that is the chorus.
Isn't it sort of... Je m'appelle.
Oh,
merci.
Sorry, yes.
Anyway, so you like France. We should just explain what. You mentioned the fact that France haven't been in the semi, which is because the Big Five, who fund the majority of funding for the contest, so UK, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany, plus the host country, get an automatic entry into the final. That's right, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. Jamie, who wins Eurovision?
We can only look one way, and that's Cyprus. We were big fans there a couple of weeks before. I said it was we were available at 100-1 2 weeks ago. Only a week ago, there were 66s still around, and the money's just come for Cyprus. And looking at the semi-final performance, I was really impressed with the semi-final. As they've said before, the lads have said before, it's a great draw in 25. I think there's only one winner, to be honest. I think it's Cyprus. It sounds what we've the act is very popular around the world, Greece especially, you know, the local countries, they're really into, and I think she's got a really good chance. I can't see much past Cyprus. I'm not a fan of Israel, which we're looking to lay Israel. Just can't see, it screams classic Eurovision, but I just can't see it happening myself. And again, the France disadvantage of not being in the semi-final, I don't think France are going to get there. I don't want to talk about Ireland at the minute because...
We'll save just, Ireland.
Personally, it's just all Cyprus.
Okay.
To be honest.
Go on.
One thing I'd say with Cyprus, if you want to back Cyprus, the way they do the voting, it's 50% televote and jury vote. But what people, a lot of people don't know, the jury vote is done in the dress rehearsal tonight. So they're actually going to vote on the jury vote tonight. And the four criteria for the juries is vocal capacity, which Cyprus are pretty poor on. The overall performance, amazing. Composition and originality of the song, not great. And the overall impression of the act, amazing. I don't think Cyprus can win the jury vote. So I think they will drift tonight going into the morning. So if you want to back Cyprus, maybe hold off. You might get a better price than Paddy Power in the morning.
But Stephen, linked to that point then, do we find out what the jury vote has been before? So how would it drift if we didn't know what had happened?
Well, we don't know, but, you know...
genuinely,
you don't know. Moldova last year went into the final at odds of 100-1 after finishing second in their semi-final.
Yeah.
So a lot of the price movements are actually, some of them are well-informed, but some of them are speculation and momentum. You know, the market can get it wrong. Now, I do think Cyprus did win their semi-final, but they're not going to announce who won the jury vote tonight. But I do think Cyprus might drift a little bit tonight because it's not a perfect jury song.
Okay. And before we go on to top four and top ten, just quickly, I've backed four countries in Eurovision this year. One of them down to Stephen, who tipped France at 22s age ago. Another one I backed, which I don't think you like, Stephen, was Alexander Rybak of Norway, who I backed at 13-2, went into 5-1, and then after he performed in the semi, went out to 25-1. Was he that bad in the semi?
Yeah, he was. The song is that bad.
No, you see, I don't know. Yeah. No, hang on a minute. No, no. Phil, hang on. Yeah, Jack.
Oh, here we go.
Hmm? So basically, step one to writing a song is you've got to believe in it and sing it all day long.
All day long.
Step two, you have to roll with it. Yeah. Of course, the problem there is you can't really believe in a song until you've written it.
Until you've written it, yeah, the order.
The basis for his story is flawed, but you quite liked it too, didn't you, Phil?
I like it, really. He's the only course and distance winner in the field.
Yeah, won it in 2009 with Fairy Tale, with his violin, very catchy.
It's very popular, so he's got a certain amount of a known quantity already.
Yeah.
They've got some very clever graphics. I quite like all the staging.
Graphics are good, plays in, yes. Yep.
Bit of this, bit of that. And, he overcame, he had a terrible draw in the semi-final. Regardless of performance, he was drawn first.
Drawn first,
and yet got through, which could have been bad news. And he's not great in the final. He's number seven, but that's it's in the zone where it's not too far away from those mid-range winners we've had recently.
And Stephen, although I know you don't like it, is there any two questions? Has he become too big a prize? And the second question, probably quite a lot of the Balkan Eastern European countries have been knocked out. He's got a big following in that part of the world, so they could be voting for him. Is there any hope for Rybak?
No.
Right.
No, I think based on what I said in the jury scores, the song, the composition of the song is so poor and average, it can't work. And when you're talking about the graphics and things, it's very cheaply done if you compare it to Man Zimmerlo in 2015.
Man Zimmerlo.
Do you remember he had the little guy and he fist pumped? That was a mile better. So he's doing the same thing, but worse. It sounds like derivative Bruno Mars tripe. It's, thank God it's drifted and it's gone, because it was down as a contender for my least favourite Eurovision song of all time, came in the top three. But
Stephen,
he's gone, forget him.
Sitting on the fence there. Just for us to...
Can we sing along?
We're having a second version of it. For Eurovision fans listening and watching, which will be many, go on YouTube and look at the aforementioned Man Zimmerlo with Petra Murda doing Love, Love, Peace, Peace in the Interval Act in 2016. It's a thing of beauty. Top four and top tens. Jamie, give us some top four and top ten selections.
Yeah,
and top betting four, as well.
Top four, top ten. Yeah, so we are currently top four, 1-5 Cyprus, 4-11 Israel, 10-11 France. We are even money on Ireland, and 3-1 Sweden, Germany and Lithuania, and 7-2 the rest.
Okay, and we don't want to go through all these odds, but James, within those countries to finish in the top four and the top ten, obviously some are very, very short prices. Are there any bets in those two markets?
I'm a big fan of Estonia, even though we've drifted. They're 7-1. Big fan of Estonia.
Just describe Estonia for us.
I can't put it into words. It's just opera in general. There's no other opera song in there this year. I thought it did very well in the semi-final. I thought the graphics of the around the dress were brilliant. No one really seemed to agree with me. It seems to have drifted, but I'm confident of a big price and maybe just get a top four finish. They've not been given a great draw, unfortunately. Drawn in six, which is not good. But I'd like to keep confidence on my side. One more for myself is, I know there might be some other fans here, but Germany, I think, I've got a great draw, and I'm a real fan of their song. It's the German Ed Sheeran, and I think 3-1 for a top four finish is a very, very good price.
Well, do you know, again, I'm going to blow my trump here for a little bit. My only decent looking bet at the minute, because Stephen is either mocked or will mock the rest, is 66-1 each way. Germany, and I think, isn't that a beautiful song, the German song? I thought it was a bit Ed Sheeran. It's about a guy singing about his late father.
Was that for me, the question?
Yes.
No, it is. The sentiment is gorgeous. I find the song a little bit reductive in the Ed Sheeran and Adele sense. I think it's very friendly to Western ears, but I'd really worry about it with the Eastern European voters. And I'll go technical again now. This is going to sound crazy, right?
But the
staging, did you watch the video on Thursday night?
Yes. So you get the images.
What did you think?
I'm quite an emotional character, and I just thought it melted my heart.
Yeah. I'd say it was fantastic up to the 2.5 minute mark. And then what they do, you kind of have that the monochrome in behind with the staging. It looks really good. And they have the images of the dad and the road and blah, blah, walked this road alone. But what it does then is it transforms into this red screen towards the end. And red is a really negative colour. This sounds crazy, but this holds true with people. If they look at red psychologically, it doesn't work. And it doesn't work at Eurovision, neither does purple, right? But it goes red. And then at the end, so you walk this road alone as the last thing, and they have the lyrics up in the back, and instead it should say something like "I miss you, Dad," or "I love you, Dad," or some schmaltzy crap like that. Yeah. But it has the word "alone" in red and black writing up behind him. It's a terrible finish to the song. That's gonna, you know, if you're deciding at the end of the song that song's over, I'm gonna vote for that. It's gonna really drop off people's radar. I don't think it's gonna be friendly with the East. I don't like the song. I think it's derivative rubbish. But I can see why people like it. So you have a chance. Oh my God.
You see, I think that's lovely. You're wrong. What about top four and top ten bets then, Stephen?
I'd pick out two. Top ten isn't a market I like because you're kind of punting around the each way market, something that might finish 8th or 12th, you know, either side of it. I don't like that market. But top four, Bulgaria were single figures probably a week ago, drifted out. They have an act that has kind of a rag and bone man feel to it, but there's five of them on stage. It can be really hard to get that cohesive act, but I thought during the second half of their semi-final they were really starting to come together as an act. They're 8-1 with Paddy Power, are they, for a top four? Is that right, Jamie? I think that's a big price.
That's right, I'd rather.
I think they could squeak in. Just in terms of the big prices, in the last 4 years, there's been 50-1, 66-1, 100-1, and 150-1 acts have placed. So it is worth fishing around for something at a big price. Bulgaria, I think, are one of those, but I wouldn't back them each way. I'd back them at 8-1, top four. And the other one, I mentioned Moldova last year placed. They do this brilliant comedic thing they did last year. They're doing it again this year. It's kind of got a carry-on feel to it. The song's average, but the staging's really good. It's going to be Televote Catnip, so I'd back them for top four as well. I'm not sure what price they are, maybe 8-9-1.
Was that the one with the Celebrity Squares background and people keep opening doors and popping their...
Yeah, that's the one.
I wasn't wild about that. Phil, top four, top ten?
Top four, I was going to say Norway, but we've covered them already, so that's all fine. Top ten, I think the Netherlands are a massive price at 92, with our friends from the country and
the
Western
genre. The country music / poppy.
Yes, it's mostly draw-based. They're drawn like between Israel and Ireland before Cyprus, so it's in the real hot area of the draw. It's a bit people will be watching. It might go down better in Portland than Portugal, but it's going to have its fans. Waylon is the performer. My second favourite Waylon after Waylon Smithers from The Simpsons. But I think countries. He's another one with them performing the competition. He came second in 2014.
For Holland,
and they got a much better draw than they had in the semi final as well. So I think if there is one of those big price 3-figure outright. Countries who can make the frame, then Holland / Netherlands are 150-1 outright, and I think they are about 9-2 for top 10, which is
9-2 for top 10. Okay, that then is pretty much part one, which we end with the news that red and purple are very bad in Eurovision.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post's inaugural Eurovision Song Contest postcast with myself, Lee Mottishead, Phil Agius, Stephen Cass and Jamie Arnold. And we're now going to look at the two home nations, beginning with the land of Sandy Shaw, Making Your Mind Up, Katrina and the Waves, and the one that should have won, Michael Ball, with One Step Out of Time. Desperately sad that one lost. This year, we have got Suri and Storm. Cue producer Jack. Now, again, I sometimes go wrong with Eurovision in that I back songs that I like as opposed to songs that will do well, which hasn't always stood me in good stead. Clearly, UK Phil isn't going to win this.
No.
But I thought sort of 14-16-1 to be in the top 10, maybe. This wasn't, no?
I can't see it. I think we're actually favourites to come last.
Yes.
why did you like it, Lee?
I quite like the melody. Yeah, because I find so many Eurovision songs have no melody whatsoever. This
that
does melody have
melody. Sounds like a national anthem once you start doing it like
does.
That.
Do you know, I like national anthems.
Sounds like Moldova.
La Marseillaise is on my iPod.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
I am a national anthem fan as well.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
the Italian one is the best one.
That is a very good one.
And then the French.
Italy. Yeah, yeah.
Italy's
yeah.
the best of all time.
Italy are terrible at rugby, and rugby, it sounds awful, and then like soccer, that, it sounds great.
Russian's good as well. Anyway, just moving on. See, but you don't like the UK entry.
I was driving up this morning and I was thinking, because I drove up to the Dublin office and I was thinking, yeah. Oh God, Lee likes this now. And I'm going to have to try and think of something positive to say about it.
Yes.
I don't know, Lee, like, she's from the UK. Her dad or brother could be listening to this. So,
yes.
You know, she tries.
Almost
the problem with the song is it's very dated sounding. The UK do this every year. They send something that would have done well in Eurovision 10 years ago. They've done the exact same thing this year. And what the UK need to do is have a proper contest like the way that Sweden does and Italy does and Israel does and everyone else does.
Melody
have a big
Fest.
TV show like Britain's Got Talent. Yeah, Melody Festival in San Remo. Have a big Britain's Got Talent kind of a thing where songs are submitted and the winner of that goes through to Eurovision, because that will actually get the cream rise to the top. The way they do it now is a problem. That's a sidetrack. The song, she's on her own on the stage, no backing dancers.
No.
She's quite frail and her voice is quite frail.
Right.
One thing I hate about her voice is she sings out of her throat, not out of her diaphragm, and it sounds really woody, and I just don't think the quality is there. It's going to be in the bottom three. It's going to finish 24th, 25th or 26th. 25th or 26th, if you ask me. I feel bad for her because she tries and she's nice, but cop on to yourself, BBC.
You don't feel that bad, do you? You've slagged the poor girl. I mean, to be fair, we've had Engelbert Humperdinck and Bonnie Tyler in recent years. This is quite contemporary.
Yeah, well, and Ireland will give you the UK a few points. You know, everyone
says,
oh, the UK give
Malta.
That's nonsense. I'm going to tell you now, right? The last 5 years, 4 points, 10 points, 1 point, 8 points, 7 points, an average of 6 points, even though the UK have an average finish at a position of 20th, which you'd expect maybe 1 point.
Our
Buzz and Buddies over here, you'll probably get 4 points off us.
Well, given we sent Betty no horses to the Dublin Racing Festival as well, that's probably going to impact on, on Irish support. Jamie, is there any sense, Jamie, in which bookmakers nowadays overreact to the feeling that the UK will do terribly and maybe make us a bigger price than we should be?
In my honest opinion, as an Englishman in Ireland, I think this UK song is one of the worst I've ever seen.
Right,
I'm pretty sure this won't be storming at the leaderboard any time on Saturday night.
See what you did there.
And I've been waiting that one for a good half hour there. It's just a poor song. Like, I remember last year's song was Lucy Jones. I thought that was all right, and it finished fifth last. And I think this UK song's destined to finish last. To be honest, there's my patriotism gone. I'm really not a fan of the song. I can't see much else finishing lower than it, to be really honest. And I'm really not a fan of the song.
Right. Okay.
So, all in all, if we could feedback that to Siri, that would be great.
I should just say, if we've got any sort of weird background noise on the line to Jamie, it's a bit like one of those 1970s Eurovision links to Reykjavik.
Yes.
Because we've not got a great link to Jamie at the moment. Okay, we move from the UK to Ireland. Cue Jack. Jamie, the Irish song, you might think it was being prepared by Sir Mark Prescott, because this has been a massive plunge in recent days. Talk about the gamble on Ireland.
This is the gamble of the Eurovision all time, I believe. We priced up at 150-1 a couple of weeks ago. We didn't really give it much confidence. It was 100-1 last week, and then suddenly the plunge began. Everyone looked into the semi-final performance, and it seems to impress everyone. And it's going to be a bleak night on Saturday night if Ireland get home. Let's put it that way.
Stephen, just talk about a bit of the politics of this Irish song, because there's been a bit of hoo-ha in recent days.
Yeah, so there was a fake news story over here that Russia had threatened months ago not to show it, because there's two gay dancers come out and kind of perform a routine halfway through the song. And to be honest, that's what makes it. It's the dancing and the staging. Russia did show the song, but China didn't. And Ireland have got some great PR now, because it's been all over the Eurovision news, what do you call it, news feeds, about China being banned from showing Eurovision now because they refused to show the Irish song the other night. So... and rightly so. Screw them.
Yeah, absolutely. Screw them. That's what I say too. I think it's a gorgeous staging and a really nice song. Stephen, can it win?
I'm probably the wrong person to talk it up, because I didn't think of it. Like, I can't even walk down the street at home. I was on Waterford local radio, my local radio station, during the week saying they had no chance of qualifying. The reason I thought that was, like, I thought the song was a little bit bland, and the falsetto voices tend not to do well with juries, so you have to be relying on televote. I think this thing nailed the televote, because the staging is amazing. Yeah, just the way they've done it. The girl and the piano, the cheap stunt of getting the audience to hold up the torches on their phone, I've never seen that look as good. They're the first country to really nail that. But it's the two dancers that are going there, that they come out around a minute and they perform this magnificent routine, and it just works. And that's what's elevated it to a new level. I think they're way too short now. I couldn't have them on my mind around 9 or 10 to 1. I actually think they've probably finished third in their semi-final. So if you're backing them at 9 to 1, you're crazy. I had a few quid on last night at 33 to 1 just because I want to be able to celebrate if they win, because I'll be so embarrassed, but I don't think I'll be collecting.
And there's always a great debate about, could RTE afford to stage it if Ireland never won again? Has that been resolved now?
I don't think it's going to be an issue. Like, you see Portugal are doing a great job. Like, firstly, the boom is back, baby, and we're all loaded again. But the other thing is, it's like Ireland tourism is growing and growing and growing, you know, and it's becoming one of our biggest industries. And you can see the way Portugal are doing it. They're making such a beautiful showcase of Portugal, and they have reduced the cost by not having all the big LED screens, blah blah blah. Ireland has the facilities to do it, and there's a good opportunity there. So, like, if you compare, Ireland are mad to host a Rugby World Cup and the cost of that. Like, this thing has such a, you know, 50, 100 times over the global audience, so we should be mad to host it. If we get it, you can hear how excited I am. My God. Eurovision in Dublin. Oh my God, I'd nearly start.
We could do the podcast.
I might take a holiday
there
for a year to prep for it.
Yeah. Ireland, Phil.
Yeah, not for me. I think the Eurovision Song Contest might be the wrong competition for them. They should be better off in a battle of the blands.
That was controversy from the sport editor.
Well, I just want to say that, as if we get back to favourite all-time.
Yes.
All-time Eurovision entries, that I'm not completely anti-Ireland, as you'll get there. But this one just makes Ed Sheeran seem cutting edge, which he isn't. you know, the draw is good for him. That's why I think the plunge could be draw-related, because they got a lovely draw there in 24. Come with a late rattle on the outside. But top 10, but not top 5 for me.
You mentioned all-time favourite. What is your all-time favourite Eurovision song?
Well, I've been waiting such a long time for you to ask me that one, Lee.
It'd
be Johnny Logan from 1980. What's another year?
Bit of Johnny Logan. Jamie?
I was a big fan of Loreen's Euphoria back in 2012. Yes. Very good song. I thought that was one that always seemed to sing along.
Yes, nice.
A sad
Euphoria
realisation there.
Euphoria's classic, Stephen.
My favourite Eurovision song, certainly my favourite Irish one, is Rock and Roll Kids. That was the year of River Dance.
Yes.
Probably favourite overall, I loved Norway 2014, I think it was, finished fourth. Monsters Like Me, that was a big hit with me, loved that one. Okay. And Aliana Moon finished 11th for Moldova in 2013. That, by the way, did the dress trick that Estonia are completely ripping off this year.
Which is?
We were talking about it earlier. Estonia have this long dress.
Yes.
And it has all the LED projections
on
it.
Goes on and on and on.
Aliana Moon did that in 2011. I loved that song. I had a big bet to finish in the top 10. It finished 11th on the last vote. It was finishing 10th. That was a killer, but beautiful song.
Okay. And my favourite view of this was Lad It Swing by Bobby With The Socks for Norway.
Bobby Socks.
Incredibly catchy chorus. Lad It
Can you sing a bit?
I could sing a bit.
Lad It Swing, Lad It Rock and Roll. Let it swing and let the music take control.
I'm going to add that to my Spotify Eurovision playlist here.
Thank you.
The only Eurovision song I've got on my Spotify playlist, number 3, the ultimate playlist, is one from 2013. It came 7th from Italy, Marco Mengoni's L'Essenziale, which is a lovely song.
That's my second favourite song.
I tipped it that year and it came 7th. I'm still gutted about it.
Doesn't that show that the best songs don't always hit? On my place, I've got another sort of past opera song, which is called La Voix. It was like an opera song You know the one, don't you?
Song, Lee, sorry, Phil, that song would have won, but they staged it as if he was drunk. He stood up and pretended it was ridiculous. And what an amazing song. L'Essenziale or something.
The video was brilliant. They had him at a piano and it was all classy and everything. And then
diving into the pool.
The show, he just
Paddy
wandered
Power
around with a suit.
We're not talking about bets.
This is straight from just being a postcard in just great TV/radio. Before we end the half, half. Phil, last place finish betting, and actually, first before that, betting on the last place finish, Jamie.
Yep, just.
He's pressing a few
buttons.
Betting
on the last place, yep. Ace. It's 2-1 for the mighty UK, which I think is a very good price. Albania 4-1, Serbia 6-1, Slovenia 9-1, Portugal 12-1, Spain 12-1, and 20-1 the rest.
I will do this bit quickly. Jamie, your tip for last place is
UK 2-1.
Stephen.
One of the best bets of the whole thing. That 9-1 about Slovenia is huge. Absolutely massive.
I like
really
that
bad
song.
No, sorry, the song's okay, but what happens is she does this really naff thing at the end where she pretends the music drops.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Everyone will see through it. It doesn't have a chorus as well, so it's not memorable. It's drawn three. Now, the UK is obviously the problem there. The UK will probably finish last, but Ireland will give the UK a few points, and so will some of the Western Europeans. Slovenia kind of don't really have any long-term allies, and the song is so bad. That 9-1 is it's a wrong price. I think it'll be half that, so definitely worth backing.
Ace and Phil,
I've got a sort of trends tip for last place, because the last 4 years it's been a big five country. It's been Spain, Germany, and France last 4 years, generally from the middle of the draw, which sounds like bad news for the UK. But I think even worse this year is Spain drawn in two, which is a horrible place, and it's not a great song. And I think Spain at 12-1 would be my last.
But wasn't there a massive sort of PR build-up in Spain with this one, Ducanción or something? Wasn't there a big momentum behind it for a while, guys?
Yeah, Spain do that every year. They're brilliant at doing the PR for their songs. Right. Every year they come out in Spain are like 20-1 and 33s into 20s every February or whatever it is. Yeah. But it feels right. That's a really, really bad Disney puke duet. Like, it's awful stuff.
Okay, you probably need to try and tone your language slightly in some of these, because there are, you said before, families and friends listening. Okay,
puke. You can't say puke.
Well, it's not so much the word, it's the sentiment that you're expressing. Anyway, that was the end of part two.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Racing Post Eurovision Song Contest postcast. If this was Eurovision, we'd be by now well into the scoring stage of the competition, so 6 or 7 hours into the programme. We're going to look at the other markets the guys want to mention, which could be anything, top Balkan, top Scandinavian, Baltic, jury vote, etc, etc. Phil, any other markets you want to tip on?
The one I'd go for is top big five nation. We mentioned the big five before. And again, all my tips mostly draw-based, but Italy... 26 out of 26. Last thing you hear before you go to vote. You might forget everything you've heard before. Obviously, it's got to beat Stevens France, but it's got a much better draw than the other four big five countries. Spain in 2, UK 9, Germany 11, and France 13. And you have to wait about an hour till you get to Italy, which is the last one you hear before the voting.
And what price are they?
They are 6-1 to be the top of those five.
Okay. Jamie, what about markets that you like?
I'm a big fan of top Scandinavian market, and I think Sweden are a big price, 11-10. I'm not a fan of the Norway song. As I said before, it's a cheesy pop song. Rybak's, he's very good at performing, but the song's just, it's pretty awful. Finland and Denmark haven't even really come into my equation that much. Denmark's very bland rock song. It doesn't really do much, and the same with Finland's. Sarah Aalto's not, it's just not doing it for me. I think Sweden at 11-10 is a really good price.
Okay, and Steve, before we go on to your tips, any sort of particular really Eurovision-y songs in this Eurovision?
Oh, yeah, there's loads. It's Eurovision, Lee. Loads of them. loads, yeah. Yeah, if I look at the list, the running order, like Ukraine, the first song, they set a stairs on fire up to the piano, so you have that in the staging. Nice. Serbia have this, classic Eastern stuff, just kind of a tin whistle playing Gandalf, and Slovenia do that thing where they drop the music. Cyprus, which are obviously the favourites, but the old mermaid catsuit, it's classic, and dance routines, and all the pyros. Pyros means the fireworks they fire up. That's what big Eurovision references, the pyros. So they're amazing. Israel, you obviously have the chicken dancing and the clucking, so that's classic Eurovision stuff. Hungary, we see a bit of crowd surfing, actually.
That was
for the first time ever.
I couldn't stand Hungary. The guy was... I thought the guy in Hungary made... It's a heavy metal story. He makes Animal from the Muppets seem understated. He was really silly, I thought. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. No, that's kind of it, you know, just right, what, okay. You know, in terms of your Australia. Now Australia are in it. Oh yeah, well, Australia in the Eurovision, blah blah blah. Yes, they are. It's the fifth year they're in it. that's such a, like, that's actually worth watching because it's just such a car crash. Because the song, the lyrics are terrible. They sound like they're written like by a 10-year-old girl with on her primary school crush or something. And it's the dress she wears is absolutely horrific, horrendous, and she's all alone on the stage. So that's worth watching just for general car crash TV.
Okay, and did you have any other markets that you wanted to tip up on?
I agree with Jamie on the top Scandi. I think Sweden at around even money. They have Norway beaten. You can discount Norway. The Sarah Aalto angle, Finland is interesting. She'll get a lot of vote from Westerners, haven't done well in the X Factor, but Sweden are better drawn. They to get even money about top Scandi. I think Sweden won the semi final on Thursday night, so I think around the even money mark, that's a great bet.
Okay, and before we go on to your best bets overall, Jack, are there any bits of music you've not played yet, given you took ages to find these? Any bits, Jack? We've not heard Estonia listeners' views. This is Estonia. I don't mind a bit of Sarah Brightman.
Close to tears just listening to it.
I thought it was quite nice. One I think we've not mentioned so far, guys, just because it's prominent in the betting. Have we talked about Lithuania yet? Because that's been shortened.
Lithuania, no.
Lithuania, it was the problem is Lithuania. They've been drawn four, which right. is we've seen a lot of. It seemed like it was really coming in. It was going to go off a third favourite, but with the drawing four, it's just fell away. Unfortunately, I did like the song. It's up there, better version of Spain song, should we say? And but the drawing four is just not great, which means it's just drifted away.
Okay, right. Producer Jack is telling me we've not actually played Cyprus, even though they're favourites. So Jack, cue Cyprus. It's growing on me. Right, your best bets for Eurovision Song Contest 2018, Phil.
I'm going to go with the Netherlands top 10 finish. They'll put your Stetson on and cheer on the Dutch Cowboys.
And remind me, Jamie, what sort of price would you get about Netherlands to be in the top 10?
Netherlands top 10, you'll get 9-2.
Netherlands top 10, 9-2 from Phil. Jamie, your best bet.
Mine's a little bit shorter. It's Moldova in the top 10, 11-8. I think it's very catchy, very, very comic. It's one of the most comic songs in the second half. That second half's packed with good songs, but I think that'll stand out, and I think it should easily get a top 10 finish.
Okay, mine is German Each Way. I love the German song. Stephen, the Eurovision guru, your best bet of Eurovision 2018?
France Each Way. I've had the biggest bet of my life on it. I'm very confident.
Fantastic.
And I think that 9-1 Slovenia last place, that's a great bet.
So really, when Richard Bearline, after 1981 Guardian Classic Trial, said bet like men with Shergar for the derby, you are saying the same thing about France for Eurovision?
Yes. Oh God, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But I'm in so deep now, I might as well just carry on.
Like, yeah, dig.
What have I got to lose? I only tip once a year, so if I dip up a loser, everyone has forgotten in a year's time.
Lovely man. Excellent. Okay. Right then. This you've been watching and listening to History, the Racing Post debut Eurovision postcast. Thank you to Phil Aegis. Thank you to Jamie Arnold. Thank you to Stephen Cass. Next week, we do Brexit. Is it good or bad? Goodbye.
6 ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.